We'll be reading a couple brief passages this morning. Luke 21, the very last two verses of the chapter, and the last two verses of chapter 19 as well. Let's first pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. Our Father in heaven, without your word, we're in darkness. And yet in Jesus Christ, and with the blessing of his Holy Spirit, who has brought forth your word in fullness and light, we have light in which to see all things, beginning with ourselves and the world about us. Lord, we come to you and pray that you would teach us your ways, you would show us things that we must see. As the psalmist prayed, Lord, our words are open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Lord, show us the way to walk. Guide us as disciples of Jesus Christ, professing faith in him, to be led to that heavenly city where our destiny finishes, to be with you forever. Lord, guide us by your word. Give us hearts to receive, eyes to see the truth as it is in Christ, and ears to hear and welcome the truth of Christ. Lord, bless your word to us, for it's in his name and for his sake that we pray. Amen. Luke 21, verse 37. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. And back to chapter 19, the last two verses there. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. And they could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to him, hearing or listening. Once again, our main passage, Luke 21, I'll read it again. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening, at the end of the day, he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. This is God's word. Today I speak to you about something that is so necessary, that's so basic, and yet so obvious that we might miss it altogether. And that is the gracious calling and the rightful duty to listen to Jesus. The Gospels show us many, many people who listened to Jesus. We see it on every page. We see it from many situations and under many circumstances. The disciples listened to Jesus. Bystanders listened to Jesus. Parents listened to Jesus, even as their children listened to Jesus. The needy listened to Jesus. Religious leaders listened to Jesus. Pagan magistrates listened to Jesus. Even Satan and the demons listened to Jesus. Even the Father who is in heaven listened to Jesus. And so it is that you and I should listen to Jesus Christ. Certainly Luke saw this as a vital point. As we've been studying the Gospel of Luke, Luke notes it therefore, and he does so as a summary, as if it's a refrain. We saw it at the end of chapter 19 with Jesus teaching in the temple and people coming to listen to him. At the end here of chapter 21, we see the very same thing. Midway between those chapters in Luke chapter 20, verse 45, as Jesus has answered his objectors so fully and persuasively, we read that all the people were listening. Mark's gospel says that the common people listened to him gladly. People listened to Jesus Christ. Now, to listen to Jesus assumes important truths. There are just two of them as an introduction. The first is that Jesus speaks. Jesus has something to say. He has the authority to say it. When he says it, it is for our good. He may teach, he may warn, he may comfort, but he has something to say, and say it he does. Secondly, since Jesus speaks, we then must learn. If he is in the capacity of the teacher, then we are necessarily found either to be ignorant or misled or straying or immature. We therefore put ourselves in the place of disciple. The teacher calls us to be disciples, to follow him, to think like him, to be like him, and to do whatever he commands. But even these things start by listening to Jesus. For as we're told in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if we're to sharpen the point, we ask this morning, if you would listen to Jesus, what should that entail? What does it involve? To what must I give myself in listening to Jesus? Well, I see no less than seven principles that are drawn from this daily event that Luke mentions. I'll finish the two of them tonight. I have a suspicion that it's going to be too much time-wise and for gathering the whole bushel of apples that we have in front of us. We have to consider these as either disciples or even would-be disciples, if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first principle, to listen to Jesus, entails personal, willful interest. It's personal, willful interest. Look at the scene in this passage. Jesus is teaching every day, throughout the day, in the temple. At night, he returns to the Mount of Olives. And every morning, people are getting up to go and listen to Jesus. Some probably stayed all day. Others might have gone only for a time, having to end at a certain point for responsibilities. But you note here that there is a personal interest. They're interested in Jesus for personal reasons, for who he is, for what he says, for who they are and what they need to hear from him. Real people are engaged by and encounter the real living person of Jesus Christ. It's all a very personal interest. You note also that it's a willful interest. They knew he would teach every day. They knew where he was when he taught. They willfully, could we say, set their alarm clocks to go out and listen to him. They had a personal, a willful interest in Jesus Christ. As Luke puts it, again, chapter 19, verse 48. All the people were hanging on him, literally, listening. They were hanging on him. It was willful. It was personal. There's the kind of person who, when someone is talking to him, is listening, but while he or she is listening, he's really thinking about something else. some other person, some other event, something else. Maybe we're all guilty of that at various times. Listening, is he hearing? Hearing, is he listening? Why do we do that? What's going on with that phenomenon? It is that we're not interested. Our will isn't set right. We are impersonal with persons. And so I ask, how are you when it comes to listening to Jesus? Is it personal for you? Is it willful for you? It's here with the call to personal, willful interest in Jesus Christ that we must be careful. That's because many people have listened to Jesus. They've used their physical ears, but their spiritual hearing is deafness. They don't hear. They can hear, but they can't hear. They won't hear. They willfully, personally, are disinterested in listening to Jesus. They don't have ears to hear what the Spirit says through him. Today, if you would hear his voice, the scripture says. Many of the people who at one time listened to Jesus, in due time, demanded his crucifixion. Remember Herod, who though listening to John the Baptizer, finally, when he heard him, though perplexed, listened gladly, the text says. We know from the parable of the soils that there are some, Jesus says, that when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and yet later they fall away. We'll return to this in a moment, but Jesus made the point that you can hear and not hear. You can listen, but you're not listening. To listen to Jesus is personal and willful interest. You know that young boy Samuel in the Bible. This dear little boy, there he was, as such, under Eli's care. The Lord spoke to him while he was laying down and personally engaged, willfully interested, he responds. And yet he runs to Eli as the Lord's talking to him. Eli coaches him and he says, go back and lay down, boy. And when the Lord talks to you, you say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. You know what became of Samuel. Godly judge. Good ruler to the people of God. What a tender heart. What a disciple's heart. There he is personally and willfully interested such that he says, speak as a servant, as a disciple, I'm listening. Do you listen to the Bible? Do you listen to Jesus with your Bible as Samuel did with his ears? Jesus speaks. Listen then. Listen to Jesus with a personal and willful interest. Secondly, there is entailed in listening to Jesus sacrifice and or inconvenience. Sacrifice, inconvenience. Sometimes it's one, the other times it's the other. Oftentimes it may be both. It's like house projects. Sometimes the challenge is time. Sometimes the challenge is money. Sometimes you have neither, but you have to have both to do it. Like house projects with time and money, to listen to Jesus entails sacrifice sometimes. It entails inconvenience. Again, look at the temple scene. Jesus speaks, the people listen. When did it all start? We're told the people would get up early in the morning, verse 38. How early? It seems it was very early. Two points lead us to see that it was very early in the morning. First, the gospel tells us that Jesus got up early in the morning. Luke says back in chapter 4, verse 42, when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. However, Mark tells us in a different account, with more detail, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. It's Mark 1:35. Imagine that. In a world without flashlights, without headlights, without streetlights, even without wind-up alarm clocks yet, Jesus, while it is still dark, gets up and goes to pray. 4 a.m., 5 a.m., somewhere in that vicinity of time, plus getting himself ready, changed for the day, walking in the dark to this secluded place to pray. This was very early in the morning, while it was still dark. If the resurrection teaches us anything, it is that Jesus arises even before dawn has broken. You remember the women came to the tomb while dawn was breaking, and Jesus had already risen and had left. This was very early in the morning that these people got up. And so secondly, given Jesus' own habits, we can imagine that for people, this was a sacrifice. This was probably something of inconvenience to get to the temple. They had preparations for themselves. They had to eat breakfast, maybe pack a meal or two if they're to stay all the day. If they have children, they're certainly in bringing them to bring some sort of preparation for them. There's also the travel time. Friends, all of this helps us to see that to listen to Jesus entails sacrifice. You may very well be inconvenienced. There may be a dent considerably put into your life to listen to him. All the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen. You a morning person? Or are you a night owl? I'm the night owl. Nocturnal. I don't like getting up early. I will if I have to, but I prefer not to. I don't sleep late, I don't sleep in, but I don't rise early, especially very early. I have trouble with that. Put yourself, if you're like me, among these people. It's very early in the morning. Are you with them at the temple? Or are you still in bed? Where are you? Are you listening to Jesus, or are you in the convenient comfort of your fellowship with Saint Mattress? Where are you? Do you listen to Jesus with some degree of sacrifice, or at least inconvenience? Are you dreaming, or are you learning? What then must I? What then must you do? We must put aside our own schedule and see that Jesus really determines my schedule. Those who do their sleeping sleep at night. We, Paul says, are of the day. So what sacrifices, what inconveniences does listening to Jesus put before you? What changes should you make to your life? Is it preparing for yourself or preparing for public worship the night before or earlier in the morning? Is it to schedule certain activities or gatherings for another time than the Lord's Day. Maybe it's to turn off the TV so that you can read your Bible that you still haven't done today. Maybe it is to get up earlier, to catch that always elusive time to pray before the day gets busy. What will you sacrifice to listen to Jesus? If he rose long before dawn and sacrificed himself at the cross for you, what's the inconvenience? What is the sacrifice to listen to him? What must you move past? What is he worth to you? If he's worth anything, he's worth nothing unless he's worth everything. To listen to Jesus, as Peter said, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have words of everlasting life." Now, the point, of course, is not that you have to get up early in the morning. The point is not that you must do your devotions before breakfast or before dawn. They literally had to follow him that way in that time. But it's not set forth as a principle. It is, as the Hebrew often gets at in the Psalms, early, with priority, diligently, I will seek the Lord in the morning. The point is that Jesus is first thing. He is to have first place in all things. So with that, number three, to listen to Jesus entails putting aside things as a priority. We're talking new priorities here. To go deeper, we're here challenged that common things, even creature comforts, we think our needs are not as necessary as we think. They can be put aside. They really can be. In light of listening to Jesus as the priority, they should be put aside. Important things for sure, but things that can be done at another time than when Jesus is speaking. We can do without them. They should be put aside and adjusted in relation to Jesus, the priority. Need. Should all the people go to the temple to listen to Jesus? Answer? Yes. Therefore, need they sleep that morning? No. No. Could they function without it? Yes, they could. Was it a greater priority than Jesus? No. Therefore, they should absolutely put it aside. It's about putting things aside for Jesus as the priority. That's the point here that this text has for us. It's not just the awakened people here at the temple listening each day. It was Peter and Andrew, James and John, saying no to their fishing nets. It's not only them, but it's Matthew and Zacchaeus leaving their tax booth with all their money. It was Nicodemus. It was Paul with all their Sanhedrin learning with the other leaders. It was Barnabas with his property. It was Onesimus with his slave. People had to put aside things for the sake of Jesus Christ. All these things and others involved in legitimate callings, reasonable things in life, saw those things to be put aside in relation to following Jesus. Because of Jesus and for Jesus, they reprioritized their lives. They got up early in the morning and came to listen to him. Consider Mary. You know that story, I hope, that Jesus is there teaching in her sister Martha's home. Many people are there, it seems. Mary is there at his feet listening. She's glued to his words. As if drinking water, she's taking it all into herself. But then there's Martha, however. Distracted, perhaps in the sort of kitchen, it says, distracted with much service, has her priorities amiss. Oh, she's preparing probably an exquisite meal. I'll tell you, she's missing a much more exquisite meal. And that is to feast on what Jesus is saying. It was a good work that she was doing, but it was a good work at the wrong time. She was goofed up in her priorities. And as the text says, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to him, but Martha, distracted with much service, came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister, it doesn't even mention her by name, has left me to do all the serving alone? Pity, pity, poor Martha. To which Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered by so many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, there it is. There's the contrast between the one necessary thing and the many things. The one thing that does not get taken away is the priority. The other many things that only lead to worry and bothersome things and anxiety. How has it been said? The book, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World? We're often much like Martha, aren't we? Seldom like Mary. And that's just the point. You're always going to be challenged. You will always be challenged with the one necessary, prioritized thing or the many lesser things, good things, that can be done at another time. The lesson is to put aside good things for a better thing. Jesus is here teaching just that. We must put aside things as a priority for him. If Jesus takes first place in your heart, then you will sit as a priority at his feet. That's the Mary way. Put aside your selfish ways. Put aside your sinful ways. Put aside your very self and come and listen to Jesus Christ. Put aside, could we say, your Sunday evening things to listen to Jesus before the evening is finished, when he returns, and not before then, to the Mount of Olives. You went to him in the morning service. Can you not continue with Jesus in the evening service? Or do you prefer to sleep? Or to shop? Or do you prefer your shows? Jesus is calling us to realign things to his priority. What will it be, Martha? Distractions? Or will it be what Mary chose? Devotion. To listen to Jesus. Put aside things for the better priority of hearing Jesus and the preaching of him. Number four, to listen to Jesus entails public commitment. Public commitment. Again to the text. During the day, verse 37. He was teaching in the temple. Verse 38, all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. This listening did not happen in a home, as it could have, and as at some times it did. No, this happened in a public place. Not a private place. This was a public place. Jesus, if you're to listen to him, calls for public commitment. He himself reminds us, John chapter 18, verse 20, before his accusers, I spoke openly in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. He who taught openly should be committed to publicly. Publicly. This is why we call for a public profession of faith in Christ. Jesus said, "Everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the Father and the angels of God." As a disciple, you're a public person. The people watch you as they watched his disciples following him. A disciple is a public person. The church proclaims a public message, being the visible body of Christ. We gather as God's house before Jesus, just as the people went to the temple to listen to Jesus. It's all public. There's nothing in private here. It's a witness to the watching world. Friend, have you publicly professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may do so privately. Do you do so publicly? Have you done so publicly? He's preached to you publicly today. Will you publicly follow him and identify yourself with him today? Is that your life? And if you've publicly listened to Jesus and publicly professed Jesus, do you publicly live for Jesus? If you listen to Jesus, it leads to a public commitment and a public life. Could you, like the listeners that day at the temple, be identified as that one who went to listen to him at the temple? Could the woman who identified Peter say to you, "That man too was with him"? Do you have a public commitment to Jesus Christ? Does the world see you listening to him? Do they know that you listen to him? Like for Peter and John. So you and I, before the critical eye, as it were, of the Sanhedrin, Acts 4:13, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. That's the greatest thing that you can be called by men. Someone who listens to Jesus. Very basic. Much overmissed. Number five. To listen to Jesus involves resolve and perseverance. Resolve and perseverance. We shouldn't pass over the verb at verse 38. All the people would get up early in the morning, one verb, to listen to him. They would get up. The verb is about habit or custom. Luke is saying it was their regular activity. It was their routine. It was their common way. It was their habit. It was their expected practice to get up early, to go to the temple, and to listen to Jesus. This is what they did. This is what they were known for. When they would get up early, it wasn't that they did it on this day or on that day. No, they did it every day. They did it each day. This is the basis for the book of Acts. Day by day. Continuing in the temple with one mind. Breaking bread from house to house. They're taking their meals with gladness. What is this but resolve? It's perseverance. This isn't getting up once and saying, "Hey, I got up today and went to the temple and I heard Jesus preach." And then the next day you look around and you say, "Well, where's Bob? Where is he?" It's resolve. It's perseverance. How tempting to sleep in. How easy to sleep in rather than listen to Jesus. It's hard to get up, especially when it's early. It's easy to stay home. How possible, how maybe more interesting for a person to do something else? How quickly it is to give up, to turn back. There's much at stake. Can you relate to the struggle of continuing to listen to Jesus? Do you tire listening to Jesus? Are you hearing the same things again and again? Are you looking for something new, something different? We may tire at sermons, whether it's hearing them or even preaching them. We may tire of listening to Jesus. The very thought of another one bores you twice on Sunday. We tire so easily, don't we, in obeying those things to which we've listened, even after umpteenth time resolutions. We tire easily. We don't hear what we hear well sometimes. And even what we hear, we forget many times. As Paul said to the Christian Jews, who were growing tired of listening to Jesus, Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. To listen to Jesus entails resolve and perseverance. Getting back to the parable of the soils, as I said I would, the one who truly hears is the one who perseveres. It's that simple. The one who truly hears is the one who perseveres. It matters nothing if you have a faith that once goes to Jesus to listen to him. No, what matters is that you have a faith that always comes to Jesus. Whatever difficulty, whatever trial, inconvenience, sacrifice, whatever you're leaving, it's a then and now listening. It's an always listening. It's listening to Jesus with resolve and perseverance. Resolve to hear it. Perseverance to do it. Coming to Christ and his word has drawn you once in order to hold you forever. It's water to a thirsty soul. His word is food to a famished person. It's pasture to wandering sheep. His word is shelter to storm-tossed drifters. We need resolve. We need perseverance to listen to Jesus. Why is it that people stay away? Why is it that people turn away from listening to Jesus? I think it's all very simple. It's that they've not tasted nor seen that the Lord is good. Remember the psalmist struggling with that. And what does he have to do? He's got to bring himself from his trials and his troubles into the presence of the Lord, the very sanctuary of God's light and countenance. And there, having resolved and having persevered, God answers him. And he says, here it is. He tasted and he saw that the Lord was good. There are some things that once you have it, or once you get it, you're hooked. Could be anything. I remember this experience when I finally latched on to Y equals MX plus B. Ninth grade algebra at the time. I couldn't do algebra if my life depended on it. And then that eureka moment of Y equals MX plus B. It may be pistachio ice cream. It could be anything. But there comes a time that when you have something and you get something, you're hooked. If you've tasted the goodness of Jesus Christ, you're hooked. You clutch it. In fact, it clutches you. That's the way it works. If you've tasted that the Lord is good by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're clutched. You're clutched. by the all-encompassing and everlasting love of God in Jesus Christ, who as these days were going along on that very last early morning in the dark corners of those religious leaders' courts, Jesus was unjustly sentenced to suffer and to die on the cross. And that whole message of the redeeming love of Christ and his blood shed for sinners' sins to be forgiven. And you came and you were hooked by the preaching of that good news, that if you believe on him, you'll be saved. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is altogether good for a sinning, burdened, needy, battered soul. You've tasted the very first fruits of heavenly Canaan. You're hooked. You're clutched. The power of his grace has claimed you. The reality of that message in this man is such that you get up early. You go to the temple. And you listen to Jesus. You and I must grasp that news. And listen till it really gets a hold of us, if it hasn't already. And if it has, that is, could we say, the missing ingredient to our resolve and perseverance. There's some bit of duty. There's some bit of you must do this that is making its way in and clogging up the system. But in reality, by grace he's drawn us. It's by grace he keeps us. It's because of grace that we rise and go. It's not us working toward him. It's Christ who has worked for us. So that you and I would be better and more solemn listeners of Jesus. I'm going to read a portion, brief portion, from a sermon. 19th century Scotsman. Just as relevant for today. We fear that there are many who are satisfied with a mere liking for the sound of Christian doctrine in their ears, while strangers to the influence of Christian doctrine in their hearts, who think it enough that they have a taste for the faith, while they give no proof of obedience to the faith, who are mere hearers of the word, but not doers of the word, who feel as if the great use of a sermon was to hear it and to judge of it, and if they are pleased, to approve of it, and then with them the great purpose for which said sermon was delivered is forthwith accomplished. There is no more of it. It is like a business settled by and by. The minister preached, and the people were pleased, and there is an end of the affair. They go back to their homes and their merchandise, and they go just as they came, carrying along with them not one trace of the living impression on their hearts, their principles, or their consciences. He may hear gladly, but what does it avail if you do not follow faithfully? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what Jesus says. And if you hear what Jesus says, then be a doer of his word and not a hearer of it alone. Listen to Jesus. Have a personal, willful interest. He is worth all inconvenience or sacrifice that you put aside things for him as the priority. Be public in your commitment to him and listen each time with resolve and perseverance to listen to Jesus. That's what we'll be doing all our days of eternity, as listening to him. Let us pray and let us go with these words. Our Father in heaven, having heard, make for us to truly hear. Lord, we confess that we're often inattentive, distracted, devoted yet to other things than the need of the hour. And that is to sit at the feet of you and have you teach us and shepherd our hearts and lives. Lord Jesus, forgive us of these things. Forgive us for our Martha way. Work in us a Mary way, one that is taught of God, as you have said in the Scripture itself. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as we are weak. So thrill our hearts and capture them with the good news of grace and what you did for us at the very earliest hours of the morning, taking on the suffering to die for us, and also 3 days later, before dawn, to complete that by rising from the dead. Lord, you are our salvation. Lead us to know that diligent early morning way. And Lord, may it all be for our good as disciples and your glory as our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.